Siostra Shiva, Abanim, Chashuvim, Tamidim. I'd like to begin with a story that happened to me this past Yom HaAtzmaut. The story, at the beginning, you will not see how it relates to the topic that I'm going to talk about with you today, Mitzvah Hashem. But if you stick with me towards the end, we'll come back to it, Bli Nedar, towards the end of our remarks, Mitzvah Hashem. It's a story that I'm not proud that I experienced. I was not an active member in the story, although maybe some of you should have said I should have been more active. But this is what happened. I went to daven mincha on Yom HaAtzmaut in the afternoon in a shul. I'll leave the shul nameless. And the chazan daven, and the law in that shul is that you have to wear a jacket and a hat when you daven, and he put on a jacket and a hat, and he davened Silence one esrei, chazar to shatz. And after we finished the bracha, mevarech hasamoy yisrael b'shalom, he proceeded to say kaddish. And he skipped tachanun. Now, many of you look at me like, duh, it's Yom HaAtzmaut. But it happens to be the minhag of that shul was that they say tachanun Yom HaAtzmaut. I'm not getting involved in the discussion. It's a little bit outdated. We're already almost a week past Yom HaAtzmaut. But the minhag of the shul was that they do say tachanun. This fellow decided, not here, not when I'm davening here today. To all my personal opinion, or if not, I'll share with you anyway, I think he was terribly wrong. You have no right to walk into a shul and make your own halacha. Okay, editorial. Anyway, there's a man there who was very, very upset about this behavior and said, excuse me, as he began to say kaddish ready. We stay tachanun in the shul. I'm like, this is not going in a good place. I'm just not excited about where this is heading. So he continues kaddish. And everyone starts getting very awkward and uncomfortable. And do we answer this kaddish? We say tachanun. And he's like, excuse me, we say tachanun. The guy is just racing off with kaddish, totally ignoring this man's point. And then they said aleinu, and davening was over. And afterwards, I wanted to run out faster than I did. Just I didn't want to see what was going to ensue afterwards between the chazan and this man. But unfortunately, I witnessed some of it. And it went something like this. The man who was upset about the tachanun, the lack of tachanun, said, hey, what'd you do? We say tachanun here. And the chazan said, what are you talking about? Go back to your country that you came from. Whoa. I was like, he was totally mevatel, this person. Totally made him feel like a piece of dirt. There were a lot of people there also. It was a very uncomfortable situation to be in. I really wanted to run out as fast as I did. It ended with Baruch Hashem without any punches thrown. It wasn't a violent situation, but it was a very uncomfortable one. And I want to come back to this story in a little while, this little anecdote in a little while, but before that, I wanted to tell you actually what I want to talk about today. And it doesn't really have to do with Yom HaAtzmaut per se, definitely not directly. It has to do with the following topic. I'd like to discuss with you today the topic of anti-Semitism. You'd be like, okay, what does that have to do with your story? Just give me a few minutes. I'll try to bring it in. In the world, there's something called fake news. A lot of times when you hear news on the street, is it real news? Is it fake news? Did it really happen? Is it baloney? Is Trump really the president of the United States of America? Or maybe Russia somehow was involved in making him the president? Everything you see is fake. But I've been watching the news a little bit recently, just seeing headlines recently, which made a big impression upon me. And I want to talk about a topic that I think is very, very real to everybody in this world, certainly in this room and in this world, and that is the topic of anti-Semitism. And it seems to me that there's a tremendous, tremendous increase, a tremendous, tremendous amount of increased anti-Semitism in places that you would least expect it, in places that, come on, in the quiet, safe havens that everyone always felt they were safe in throughout the world, throughout New York, throughout San Diego, throughout places that, come on, there? These quiet Pittsburgh, no one's going there, no one's touching that. And all of a sudden, you hear situations. I want to share with you a couple of just news headlines that we're all familiar with recently, just to understand that in the past couple of weeks, how much of a real issue this is, and how much of an increase and a surge of anti-Semitism, unfortunately, there is in the world, and in places that we wouldn't necessarily like. There? Are they there? I'll go in chronological order. The last day of Yom Tov in America, Achron Shel Pesach, a little more than 2 weeks ago. Everyone's aware. A little Chabad shul outside of San Diego, Poway, California. Chabad shul about to say Yizkor. Everything minding their own business. A 19-year-old terrorist comes in. First he posts on the internet, we have to kill all the Jews, they're a terrible threat. And then he walks into a shul with a gun and begins to shoot. Kills Nebuch, an innocent woman. Injures the rabbi of the shul. Shoots off his finger. Chamon Litzlan. Thank God he's able to save the children. Quickly he runs and saves the children. Other people are injured. In a quiet suburb and quiet little place in San Diego. The other examples on here are not as dramatic. Baruch Hashem, they didn't end with bloodshed. But they were close. Some of them you'll see. There was a video that went viral in America not long ago. In New York. On the streets of New York. There was a cop. I'm sure many of you saw this video. There's a police that was trying to control traffic. And there's a certain Jew who made a turn. And it was an illegal turn. And the cop turns to the fellow that makes the turn and says, "You're not allowed to make a right turn, you stupid Jew." To which point this fellow takes out his phone, obviously, and says, "Can I see your badge, officer?" And the officer gets a little scared. There's a picture. You can. I didn't make this up, Ashim. You can see this if you want. You don't want to, but you can see this. "Can I see your badge? What's your badge number?" He's like, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'd like to see your badge number. Please show me your badge number." He starts hemming and hawing. "Excuse me, the law says you must show me your badge number. Please show me your badge number." That's how the video ends. It went viral. You could see it. It's out there. In Far Rockaway, I made Aliyah from Far Rockaway. Nice neighborhood. Very populated with Jews. Far Rockaway. A haven of Yiddishkeit. Far Rockaway, hello. Anybody with me? Far Rockaway? The five towns? Far Rockaway? There was a class trying to have a class picture just last week. They're outside in the street taking a class picture, and some guy rolls down his window and screams, "Kill the Jews! Far Rockaway. Far Rockaway." There were two more in Williamsburg very recently. Crazy. There was a guy that was walking at 1:15 at night in Williamsburg, surrounded by a hoodlum of gangsters that come over to him, attack him from all sides. They say to him, I can't, Chalil al-Khas, no one should say the word that they said. "You bleeping Jew," again and again. And they began to assault him, punch him, hurt him, knock him down. They said, "Oh, he still can get up." And they hit him again. On the streets of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, New York. Like, everything is totally fine. It's that Shabbos morning. I'm done with my stories after this. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about 85 years ago in pre-war Germany. I'm talking about last week on the streets of New York City that many of us came from just 2 weeks ago. This past Shabbos, today is Tuesday, this past Shabbos morning, a father and his kids are walking to shul in Williamsburg, New York, and all of a sudden they're walking through a school, and a bunch of kids, Asian kids, come out of the school and say, "I love Hitler!" And they scream to these kids, "I love..." The father's shocked out of his mind. "These kids, who do you think you are? I love Hitler, that's normal? In the middle of Brooklyn?" And the chule, these are stories that made news, and there are probably many that didn't. And it's an issue that's a real issue, very, very real issue. Many of you will be on campuses, college campuses. Hopefully, most of you will be back on the bet. Hopefully, halavai, some of you, most of us will come back on the bet, Eretz Hashem. But whatever, we're all going to be out in the world, not too far off from now. This is a real, real issue that faces us in ways that I think it didn't face the Jewish people in a very, very long time. Especially with the internet and how fast information can travel and does travel. And so I want to talk a little bit with you about two sources or two roots of what causes anti-Semitism, where it comes from, and in the same vein, two responses, two reactions, how we can and we should respond to anti-Semitism. And I'd like actually to break my remarks in the following way. One is exclusively to Chutz La'aretz. When anti-Semitism is experienced outside of Eretz Yisrael, what is the root of that? Where is it coming from? Why would these people come and out of nowhere start screaming, "Kill the Jews, Chas v'Shalom," in the middle of Brooklyn, Far Rockaway, in the middle of New York City? What's the source of that? And what's our response to that? And you'll say, "Come on, in Israel, it's any better?" Your daughter, you'll say to me, my daughter is in school with my kid, and last week she had to come home because there were 700 rockets shot in 2 days from Gaza. How do we address the anti-Semitism in Eretz Yisrael also? What's the root of that? How do we respond to that also? So I'd like to share with you a very, very famous and beautiful Meshech Chachma. It's found in Parshas Bechukosai, And it's very well known, and it's very, very timely, even though it's not Parshas Bilchosai this week, it's almost Bilchosai. And it speaks, at least for sure, to the heart of the first issue, which is, what is the root of anti-Semitism in diaspora beyond Eretz Yisrael? And the Meshach tells us the following thing. He says it all goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the first person to go with more than just one person to Golus. The Pasuk says, Vayered Yaakov, Yaakov goes down, Melamed Shlo Yared, Yaakov Avinu, Lishtakev Mitzrayim Al Lagursham. Yaakov realized that we can't entrench in Mitzrayim. We can't make ourselves too comfortable in Mitzrayim. If we do, we're dead. 70 people, millions around us, we're going to be toast, Shevet toast. It's not going to work. So you know what we got to do? We have to realize we can't be too comfortable in a foreign land, no matter what land that is. And so Yaakov set up. Klal Yisrael had certain things which kept us apart in Mitzrayim. We said in Haggadah not too long ago. Vayisham legoy melamid shal Yisrael mitzuyanim sham. What's mitzuyanim mean? We were unique. We were distinct. In whatever ways. In our clothes we were distinct. In our names we were distinct. Yaakov taught us the only way to really survive in Galus, the only way to survive as a people is to be unique, is to be different, is to recognize that we are different and not to let ourselves become too entrenched in the culture and in the religion and in the surroundings we find ourselves. Let's fast forward a little bit in Jewish history because we're going to see a very big crash course in Jewish history right now, says the Mesh Chachma. Golus, Babel, Ezra. Ezra came to Babel. There was tons of assimilation in Babel. Ezra said, there's no way this is going to survive. He learned from his grandfather Yaakov Avinu. There's no way we're going to survive in this tremendous Golus, says Ezra, Sofer, unless we have takanos. Ezra made takanos and more takanos than gezeros because he realized without these gezeros, without these safeguards to keep us separate and unique, we're going to be toast, shebet toast, chas v'shalom in Golus. We're not going to make it. We're not going to survive in Golus. It's not going to work. We can't get too comfortable in Golus. Says the Mesh Hacham, if you just take this theme and just thread it through Jewish history, you'll find an incredible thing. It's a scary thing. What happened to the Jews from the time of Korban Bayis ad Hayom Hazeh? Says the Mesh Hacham, here's what happened. We were sent into Golus. And then we found the comfort zone. And we set up shop. Pick your place. It doesn't make a difference. Whether it was in Spain, whether it was in Europe, other places throughout France, doesn't make a difference where it was. We set up shop there. And we got comfortable. And we got too comfortable, says the Mezrachma. And we said, this is cozy, this is home. This is yummy, this is great. I love it here. And Hashem said, yeah, that's home. That's where you belong. And Hashem sent a ruach, a wind, to come and uproot the Jews from that place. And remind them, this is not home. You don't belong here. Home is not in Germany. Home is not in Poland. Home is not anywhere beside Eretz Yisrael. And says the Meshach Chachman, this happened again and again throughout history, every few hundred years. We got comfortable again. And Hashem said, no, not there, not there. That's not where you belong. And another wind came along to uproot Klal Yisrael from their place and remind them that that is not home. He writes words that you could unbelieve, you could shudder when you read them. He writes, people are going to think, I'll read the words in front of me. He writes, Yachshov, they're going to think, Ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. People are going to think, Berlin, Germany, that is Jerusalem. Who needs to go to Yerushalayim for? We have it right over here. And once we have it right over here, what's going to happen? This is before the Holocaust. He says, yeah, you know what's going to happen? Rahman al-Islam, there's going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible uproar to remind us, no, this is not home. Home is not diaspora. Home is not Golus. So says the Meshach Chachma in very, very strong, no uncertain terms, in very, very clear terms, we have to recognize where home is. I was zocheh to grow up in a house that I give full credit to my aliyah, to my parents. Our aliyah to my parents. And my wife, because she also wanted to come. It's not an aliyah speech. But I'll tell you a true story. Many stories. It happened dozens of times in my life. When I came to learn Eretz Yisrael, I learned in Kerem Yavne, I learned in other yeshivas. I would come home, I would go back to my parents' house often. Whether it was for Yom Tovim, for the summers. I was in Eretz Yisrael for almost 3 years. I went back many times. Every time I would come to the house, until this day, Ad Hayom Hazeh, my mother, she loved me well, always has a sign on the door. And the sign always reads, "Welcome back, Andy." Now, Baruch Hashem is my family also. She also welcomes my wife and children to the home, thank God. Welcome back. Why? What's the diak? It was never welcome home. Because they trained us that this is not your home. We live here. We're trying to do good things where we are right now. This is not our home. Home is Eretz Yisrael. And when you're raised, that home is Eretz Yisrael. So then, yeah, naturally, you want to try to move to Eretz Yisrael. I take zero credit for our coming to Analiyah, because I was always taught my entire life, that's where your home is. That's where you belong. Home is there. Home is not in Woodmere, sorry. Home is not in the fill in the blank. Besides Woodmere, the other places besides Woodmere that have Jews in it, not, it's not Teaneck. And it's not Woodmere. It's not Teaneck. It's not Woodmere. It's not whatever else you're from. It's not from, it's not LA or Miami or it's not, that's not home. That's not home. I was one zocha, just one more anecdote at this point. I was one zocha to be a guest for Shabbos at a rabbi in Great Neck. Now he's a rabbi in Woodmere. And we were there for Shabbos, very fine rabbi. Some of you know him well. And we were there, I was with my family. And we came, they were singing Gemaras on Shabbos morning. And they had a minhag in their family. They would sing on Shabbos, at the Shabbos table on Shabbos day, the song V'shavu Vanim L'Gvulam. To remind their kids that they don't belong in Great Neck or Woodmere, they belong in Eretz Yisrael. And then they would change the words. This is how they would sing it. Excuse the chords. They'd say, instead of saying B'Shavuot, they'd say, "We're leaving Teaneck, we're leaving Woodmere," and even, they would make it cute, "Barrow Park, we're leaving, I don't know, Fairlawn, we're leaving Englewood, and even Williamsburg, because we are going home. Yes, we are going home. B'Shavuvanim, B'Shavuvanim, B'Shavuvanim L'Gvulam." That's what they would sing. I brought it to my house for Shabbos afterwards. We used to sing it in my house also. We made shtick out of it. And then we got, where are we going to? We're going to Ramat Beit Shemesh. We're going to Ramat Beit Shemesh. And even Tel Aviv. We're going to. We had a good time with this shtick. But the point was, it was a shtick, but it was a very, very powerful message. I remember it. This is 15 years ago. And I vividly remember this, the Shabbos Suda, and it made a very big imprint on me. Because we have to recognize that home is not there. And Chas V'Shalom, if we think home is there, Hashem reminds us, like He has so many times, that that's not your home. That's not our home. This is not an Aliyah speech I mentioned. I'm not saying everybody in this room should move tomorrow to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying that. Speak to your local rabbi, speak to your parents. It's complicated. But understand that even if you go back, back is back and home is home. But there's another piece, I think, which another source of anti-Semitism, besides the fact that we get too comfortable in our quote-unquote home lifestyle, aside from that, I think there's another piece, which I believe, and I don't have a source for this, maybe there should be people afterwards, I try to look around, I believe that this is more an Eretz Yisrael kind of anti-Semitism, more like a source for the root of anti-Semitism in Eretz Yisrael, because what do you want from me? I'm home here. I live here. This is my home. So why they hate us here also? How come our neighbors around us want to kill us here also? What's the source of anti-Semitism when it's not because one's feeling too at home and too comfortable in their life? So I want to share with you an idea from the Maharal. Maharal is found in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Revi and Perek Chamishi. It's a beautiful idea. I think it's intuitive also, but the Maharal spells it out very, very beautifully. And I think it goes like this. The Gemara says, we know in Maseches Yuma that the Beis HaMikdash, which the Churban Beis HaMikdash, probably one of the greatest sources of anti-Semitism, which happened in Eretz Yisrael also, happened because of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, we know, means baseless, senseless hatred. A lack of achdus, a lack of camaraderie, a lack of brotherhood between our brothers and sisters and ourselves. Says the Maharal the following thing. Why is it that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam? Why is it this long gullus of 2,000 years is just not able to be repaired because of this Aveira of Sinas Chinam? Is it so bad? It's worse than Gilui Arayos. It's worse than adultery and idolatry and murder. So the Maharal writes two places. I'll read you one of them. The Maharal says in Perek Yuvi, "Avamaylas Mikdashini Ayamach Mas Yisrael Atzma." the unique aspect of the second Beis HaMikdash was because of Klal Yisrael. The Davar Zeh Baruch Yisrael Mis'achtim Al Yidei Beis HaMikdash Oyelem. Klal Yisrael unites through the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Echad, one Kohen, Mizbeach Echad, Vinesra Bamos, you weren't allowed to bring on a small Mizbeach, Shaloya Perud Rechalot Yisrael. There was no division amongst Klal Yisrael when there was Beis HaMikdash. V'adar Zeh Mevur V'od. V'lachein Beis HaMikdash Al Yadohim Uma Achas. It's through the Beis HaMikdash that we unite. Since our hearts were separated from each other, we weren't deserving of the Beis HaMikdash, which is and represents Achdus in Klal Yisrael. I'm not sure it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. It could be there's a lack of Achdus probably beyond Eretz Yisrael, but definitely in Eretz Yisrael, definitely when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, this division, this divide in Eretz Yisrael, and among us, unfortunately, is a certain source of sinas chinam, unfortunately, a certain source of hatred from anti-Semitism, unfortunately. And obviously, the antidote to that would be increasing our achdus. I want to share with you reasons why I feel this way. I don't know, it could be this is just a feeling. Let's go back a little bit in time. Before I went back a couple of weeks in time, now let's go back a couple of years in time. Everyone remembers in this room a few years back, there were three boys that were kidnapped. They were waiting to go towards Beit Shemesh, where we live, by the Gush, and they were kidnapped, and for 17 days, I believe, maybe 18 days, no one knew where they were. And there was a theme throughout the entire world, bring back our boys. And the achdus that was felt in this country and throughout the world was probably unparalleled, I think, probably unparalleled, maybe since Nachshon Waxman was taken. The unity that tzara, that the anti-Semitism from close by brought was just absolutely unparalleled, absolutely just remarkable. It was incredible to see what everyone was doing to l'schus the boys. Who would not every lawn in America had a sign, bring back our boys. I think it's 4.5 years away since the Har-Nof massacre. Hashem Yikom Damam. One of the Kedoshim in the Har-Nof massacre was a Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damam. His Rebbetzin, Shetichya Rebbetzin Twersky, spoke at a big kenis, a big gathering of women after the murder, right after. I think it was during the Shiva, right after the Shiva. And she said the following thing. She said, it seems to me that the reason why this happened, now this is a very strong words, is because of the tremendous machlokas that exists in the frum world between the different parties, between different factions. She said, this is what it is. She begged that everybody, please, let's not fight over pettiness. Please, let's unite. Please understand that when we're not united, we have tzaros, we have terrible tzaros, to remind us to unite, to remind us to become one, to remind us to be there for each other. 2 months ago, in Eretz Yisrael, at a junction called Somat Ariel, not far from here, there was a man that was standing, a tzaddik, Hashem Yikom Damo. His name was Rabbi Achiad Ettinger. He was standing, waiting at a bus stop, at a regular bus stop. A terrorist stole a soldier's gun and came to where he was standing and started shooting, and not at him, in the direction of a pregnant woman, a 9-month pregnant woman. He saw what was happening, quickly took out his gun, and started shooting at the terrorist to save this Jewish woman. It's a pregnant woman. And in the process, unfortunately, he was murdered. He was killed, and she was saved. This is a true story. A week afterwards, right after the Shiva, she gave birth to a baby boy. And the sanduk of the baby boy was by Achiad Ettinger's oldest son. And they named the boy Achiad, whatever his name was, in memory of this tzaddik, this kadosh, who was there to protect and to save this woman and allow her child to come into this world. Last 2 nights ago, Sunday night, they had Achnas Sefer Torah in Tel Aviv, where Rabbi Ettinger built a tremendous kiruv empire because he cared so much about the Jewish people, and they brought a Sefer Torah in his memory to thousands of people came to dance together, the achdus that exists and could and should exist all the time, but unfortunately exists sometimes more when there is sorrows, is certainly something which is felt in this country. Achdus is important all the time. Achdus is only important when there are sorrows. Achdus is something which we strive to have when there aren't sorrows. We find ourselves right now in the period of Rabbi Akiva's students that were unfortunately killed in the time of right before Shavuot Shalonagu Kalu Zelazeh, which means on some level there was a lack of unity, a lack of achdus with each other. And as we move towards Kabbalah Satorah, it's impossible. There's no such thing as Kabbalah Satorah without achdus. Not only as a response to anti-Semitism, not only as a response to tzaros in the world, but just for itself, for Torah. Torah is one. Hashem and His Torah and the Jewish people are one. When there is achdus, we have Kabbalah Satorah, a real one. When they don't have it, we don't have it. I want to just close with a story, a beautiful story. That's not about anti-Semitism, actually. It's about Ahavas Yisrael. And I don't want my goal of the smooth was not to make people sad or depressed or scared. Although I will tell you that my brother told me, Shlita, that the one that lives in America, told me that he grew up his whole life in America and he used to feel very safe and secure on the streets of America. He doesn't anymore. He doesn't have that same sense of security that he used to feel. He lives there. He lives in a very, very cozy, frum Jewish community. Leave that alone. My point is not to scare anybody. My point of this was just to give two messages. Number one, let's not forget where home is. Let's not get too comfortable where we are. And let's try to not require chas v'shalom tzaros to bring us closer together. I want to share with you one story. And it's a beautiful story. Before I say that story, I want to get back to my... No, I'll get back to, sorry, to my Yom HaSabut and I'll end. There was a Jewish, not yet religious journalist who unfortunately, his wife got very, very sick. And she needed to go to America, from Eretz Israel, to receive various different medical treatments. They were very, very expensive and the insurance only covered part of the bill. And they came to America and they stayed by their relatives in America and the bills started piling up. And he turns to his relative and says, I can't do this myself, I need help. Where do I turn? And his relative says, I'll give you one address, go to the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe. This Zionistic, anti-religious Zionist had written so much negative information about the Satmar Rebbe, he said, I will never go to Satmar Rebbe. No way. Him? They'll take one look at me and they'll laugh me out of the room. They'll kick me out in a second. They'll see my name. They'll throw me out. The situation gets a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. And he says, okay, I have no choice. He goes to Satmar Rebbe. He gets a meeting. He finally walks in. He abashedly says his name. Satmar Rebbe says, warm Shalom Aleichem. He sees his beautiful presence. Satmar Rebbe says, how much is it going to cost you to be comfortable for your wife's treatments while you're in Chutz Laretz? So he says a number. So the Rebbe says, that's not enough, because you probably should stay in a hotel next to the hospital with your wife. This way you and she will be more comfortable during treatments. How much would that cost? And they figure out a number, and the Satmar Rebbe tells his gabbai, okay, write out a check. And he writes out a check, a tremendous check, that covers all the hotel bills and all the information that's needed to take care of his stay in Chutz Laretz. Satmar Rebbe says, here, refuah shlema to your wife, one request. After she gets better, do me a favor, just come back here for one second. I want you just to say goodbye to you properly. He remembers that request. He goes back to his wife, takes care of her, baruch, she's healed. He's packing his bags back to go back to Eretz Yisrael to return home. And he remembers, you know, the Rebbe said to come back. And he realized, you know, maybe now it's his turn to take it from the Rebbe. Because after all, he spoke so negative about the Rebbe. Now he's waiting for the Rebbe to say, you know, you deserved whatever you... Here! You know, stop talking badly about us. Comes to the Rebbe, ushered into the Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe turns to him and says, how's your wife? Baruch Hashem, she's feeling better. I have to ask you a question, he said, you know, how much have you lost from not working the past couple of months that you're in America for treatments? He said, you're probably not able to, probably didn't have salary. You're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael now, you don't have the funds that you need to take care of all the money that you've lost while you're making. He said, here's an extra $10,000, a lot of money in those days. When you get back to Eretz Yisrael, this will help you get back on your feet and you won't be stuck in debts when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's Avas Yisrael. Not necessarily related to it, or just because I love it, because he's Jewish, and I'm Jewish, and we're brothers and we're sisters. Just want to close like I began, with a sad story. I began with a sad story on Yom Ha'atzmaut, about a little kerfuffle that happened in a shul that I davened on Yom Ha'atzmaut. And you know what? The saddest part of that story wasn't like, okay, that one Jew told another Jew to go back to where he came from. The saddest thing is like, come on. Was somebody wrong in the story? For sure someone was wrong in the story. I told you before I thought it was wrong in the story. But you know what? Let's be bigger. Let's be more beloved. Let's love each other unconditionally. Let's understand that the more we show love and brother to each other, the safer we are. The safer we are physically, the safer we are spiritually. We're about to approach Shavuos. About Shavuos, it said, "Uvahu kulam bevris yachad." Everyone comes together in a bris. Nasev nishma amru ke'echa. We should be zocher to increase our love for each other and to join into Shavuos. Thank you very much.